All right, I'm going to start reading, and I'll start reading here at verse 7 of Matthew chapter 6. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Underline, before you ask him. Highlight that or something, because that's key. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's go down to verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For he either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Come on down here to verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 33 out of the Amplified says this, but seek, aim, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. All right, now we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God, we said, is the rule of God, the realm of God, the dominion of God, the authority and the anointing of God. It is the reality of God. We said it's also the government of God. We said the kingdom of God is a new system. So now we're talking about the kingdom. We found out that the kingdom of God that we're talking about is invisible. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17, it does not come with observation. So here's Jesus, and he's teaching and preaching about something that you can't see. Yet he says it comes with power. Now, we saw where Jesus preached and taught the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, over in, you better turn now, Matthew chapter 4, just turn over there a couple of pages, and look at verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people who were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy. And he did what? He healed them. So it's interesting, here's Jesus, and he's going to town, and he's healing everybody that's sick or that would come to him and believe. He's healing. I mean, he healed all of them. And then so when he leaves town, there's not one sick. Now, I look at all these diseases and all this maladies that these people have. I look at it as the curse. So the Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 3, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So he came to destroy the works that the devil had done in people's lives. As a matter of fact, I looked it up in the Amplified. It says to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. So everything that the devil has done, Jesus came to reverse it. Now, I want to take you a step further, because this just doesn't have to do with the situation where you had this man was lunatic or this one was sick and so forth. But if you look at people's lives, wherever their lives have been broken down by the curse or by the enemy's system, Jesus came to restore them. He came to put them back to the place where they belong. And when you say that, you have to look at anything that the devil did, Jesus came to reverse it. Can y'all buy that?
Yes.
Let me just show you something, because this is a side trip here, a little rabbit trail, but I think we got a time to do this. Let's go over here to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. I want you to see this. Isaiah chapter 14. Are you there? All right, in Isaiah chapter 14, look what it says here. And verse 11, I'll start there. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now, who is Lucifer? The devil. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken what? Nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Look at all those eyes. So right there, Satan is trying to exalt himself above God. All right? Now understand, he was created by God. He was a finite being, extremely limited in terms of compared to God, and God was his creator. So now he's trying to outshine his creator. Now you know that's arrogance gone to seed, isn't it? And it says here, verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? I mean, this is what we're going to say. Is this the man?
Come on.
I mean, how? Is this the man here? I'm just getting kind of carried away there. Look at verse 17. That made the world as a what? Wilderness. Watch this. And destroyed what? The cities thereof. I mean, go to the broken down neighborhoods and you'll see that they are broken down. And sometimes what people do has a tendency to blame it all on the people. Well, the people do this and this, people do that. I understand that they're being used, but the one that's behind that destruction is the devil. All right, now coming over to Ezekiel chapter 36 with me, please. Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to show you something here, and this is just a little side trip now, but I want you to see this. Ezekiel chapter 36. Let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord. All right, have you got Ezekiel chapter 36 yet? All right, now Ezekiel chapter 36 talks about restoration and God's rebuilding in the earth. Look what it says in verse 33. I won't start everywhere, but I'll just start there. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, this is the day of Christ, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and inhabit it. Then the heathen that are round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate, and I, the Lord, has spoken it, and I will do it. So I'm telling you, look around Chicago and see the most devastated places in Chicago. God's got a plan. His plan is to loosen and undo and destroy every bit of evidence that the devil has ever come in that neighborhood. Praise God. Now, I know some of y'all, that doesn't mean much to you, see, because you just kind of going to church. But to me, that means a whole lot, because one of the jobs that I have as a preacher is to empower people to have some control over their own destinies. Say amen to that. So people used to ask me, well, Pastor, how are you going to help rebuild the neighborhoods? I'm going to start by rebuilding the person. I'm going to get the word of God in them. And then they're going to go back to where they live and build that up. See, don't you think God has counted out Inglewood? Don't you think God has counted out Lawndale? Don't you think God has counted out some of the areas in Chicago that you don't go through or people don't, so forth? Honey, you better hide and watch, because God's about to make them look better than you ever seen in your life. He said it, and he's going to bring it to pass. Yes, sir. And I'm not just singling out those neighborhoods. I'm just saying a lot of people in there just been fighting for their own existence. But let me tell you, God's about to do a new thing. He's about to show that he is God. He don't need nobody to have a Harvard degree to put him on top. He can take somebody that's got no D and put him all the way on top of all the D's.
Yes, sir.
Restore.
Yes.
He's going to restore.
Yeah.
I mean, where low self-esteem was, he's going to restore.
Right.
Say amen to that.
Yeah.
Where they didn't think anything of themselves and destroying themselves, he's going to put them on top.
Yeah.
You better hear what I'm saying. God's about to move.
I
said God is about to move.
Yeah.
And guess this. Every time Jesus went through a city, he destroyed all the evidence that Satan had ever come through town. I'm saying, you're going to ride to them neighborhoods and say, my Lord, this looked like the Garden of Eden. I like that kind of preaching. I said, I like that kind of preaching. Yeah. Yeah, and part of what he's going to rebuild it with is the wealth of the wicked.
Yeah.
I ain't going to go into that because that ain't my message today. Now, why am I preaching the kingdom? Because it's the power of the kingdom of God that's going to go into operation to be able to do something on this magnitude, on this scale. You know, I was looking at the newspaper. Somebody sent me this, and they brought me this newspaper. Or senator brought it, and I saw here, it was the Chicago Defender, and it said here, where, and I'm not advertising for newspapers now, it said, Haiti, an economic disaster. Now, you know some things are going on in Haiti. Am I right about it? Well, I was looking in the newspaper and was talking about something about Haiti, and it said, it's the poorest country in the Americas. And over the past two decades, its economy has gone into a tailspin. The average per capita income for each household is $480 a year, compared to the United States, which is $33,550 a year. Then it says here, the economic problems are compounded by its fast-growing population. And it says over 40% of the population is under 14 years old. And it goes on down and talks about it has the highest incidence of HIV/AIDS in Latin America. And it says at the bottom, the root of Haiti's problem has been a failure to tackle the poverty and social deprivation and inequality faced by most of its population. I'm here to tell you, things look bad. The newspapers got it bad. God can take that nation. See, y'all got to hear what I'm saying. See, this is not just about healing your body. This is about healing the land. This is about taking a nation and a people and a culture and a neighborhood that's been counted out and turn them around so that there is no trace that poverty has ever been in their life. Man, come on, yo, hey! Now, let me keep going here, because I want to show you to see, because I just talking about these things, it's hard for some people to grab hold to this. But let's talk about it just a minute now. Now, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about a new system. We're talking about a system by which God can work and bring forth and manifest heaven upon the earth. And I want you to turn now to Matthew's gospel, chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Remember what he said? My people are destroyed, come on, for lack of knowledge. He didn't say for lack of money. It's lack of knowledge. Now, some things happened to Haiti, they tell me, when they were under slavery and so forth, and how they made some pact with the devil or something like that, and I don't know all that, but God can undo anything that's done. All right. Now, in this particular teaching, we're talking about working the system. Working the system. Now, we're talking about the system of the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Come on, my notes are here somewhere. The system of God and the kingdom of God is a spiritual operation. Somebody say spiritual.
Spiritual.
It is not natural. It goes around a natural system. You see, the enemy has set up a natural system. So the kingdom of God is supposed to come in the earth, and it's supposed to come in the earth and displace, it will, displace the kingdom of darkness.
That's right.
See, the kingdom of darkness is a world system. It's set up on fear and deception for the most part. Satan is just a bully. It's just like that guy in that schoolyard, you know, he put all that, put them names down of everybody that he could, you know, beat and whip, you know. And this guy came up to him and said, hey, I heard you got all the names of all the people in this class that you can beat, you can whip. He said, I do. He said, I heard you had my name on there. He looked at it and said, I do. He said, well, you can't whip me. Well, I take it off then. I took it right off. You got what I'm saying? You got to challenge the devil. Because he'll put your name on his list and tell everybody he can whip you. You got what I'm saying? But now the kingdom. We have the kingdom. But now we need to learn how to operate in the kingdom. Now remember what happened. I got here in terms of this particular subtitle of working the kingdom. What happened was, this man in Luke chapter 16, he worked for a rich man, and he worked for him and was dishonest or didn't do his job right or whatever have you. Well, what happened? The rich man called him in and said, give account of your stewardship. You shall no longer be a steward. In other words, I'm going to fire you. But he ran out and made a deal with a guy who owed the rich man $100. He said, $100. Gold or whatever it was, 100, whatever. He said, write 50. Just give me 50 and let me take that back. The guy gladly gave him 50. Went out to another guy, said, how much you owe the boss? He said, I owe him 100. Write 50. Took that from him, wrote him out. Then he came back and the rich man saw what he had done. He said, you've dealt wisely. He said, he commended the unjust steward, for he had dealt wisely. He said, and Jesus said, the children of this world in their generation are wiser than the children of light. Now, you still with me? You still with me? Now, what is he saying here? He is saying this dishonest man worked a dishonest system and got increase.
Yes, sir.
Now, you're in an honest system called the kingdom of God. And he's saying, why don't my people work the system that I've given them so that they can increase? Here, they've got a better system than the system of the world. Matter of fact, if they work their system, they'll take everything the world's got. But for some reason, my people are not working their system. So this is where I got here. I'm saying you're in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in you.
Yes, sir.
But now we need to know how to work that kingdom so that we can prosper in that kingdom, and God can do what he wants to do in these last days. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So now, in working that system, Jesus talked about having this something inside. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. Glory to God. He said this in Matthew chapter, what did I tell you? 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good or its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by his fruit. Watch this. O generation of who? Vipers. That's snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? The mouth speaks. Watch this. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth what? Evil things. So what he's saying there is that what is coming forth in your life is coming forth from your heart. Got it? So I told you, when the people come in here, I'm just working on changing their hearts. And here it says, a good man out of the good treasure. Stop talking about treasure. Call it deposit. So a good person, good man, good woman, out of the good deposit of their heart brings forth good what? Things. An evil man out of the evil deposit of his heart brings forth what? Evil things. Now, evil things are things that are against your health and your wealth and against your human existence. Things that are contrary to keeping you with life and vitality and so forth like that. Now, so what's producing in your life is coming from your heart.
Come on, Pastor.
Not from the man.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Preach it, preach it.
Not from your paycheck. Now, we came from a paycheck mentality.
Yes, sir.
Where when Israel was in Egypt and in bondage, they worked as slaves. God delivered them, and they came into the wilderness where there was what? Nothing. 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 No job. Now, did they eat? Yep. Who provided? God. So they got to know that they didn't necessarily need a job. Come on, you got to stay here now. Now, I'm not advocating nobody go out and quit your job. That is not, if you got that, then you've been deceived. But I'm telling you, a job God gave Adam work, not a job.
Not a job. Come on, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
A work and job are two different things.
Yes,
a job is so I can go out and make me some money.
All right.
Work is for me to manifest my potential.
Yes.
Yes. Got it?
Yes.
That's why so many people going to work on going to a job on Monday mornings, and you look in their car on the expressway and they look miserable.
Yes,
some of them might be even crying going to work. Why? Because it's a job they can't stand. You know why? Because most people are doing a job that is not their work.
Yes, sir.
It is not what God called them to do.
Yes, sir.
It is not the gift that God has inside of them, so they're getting no fulfillment. See, and the reason for it is for you to be able to serve other people.
Yes.
And the reason for the work is for you to manifest your potential so that you can serve me better.
Yes.
The reason for me working is for me to turn over my gift so that I can perfect my giftedness and I can serve you better.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you following what I'm saying? And at the same time, dominating this earth.
Yes, sir.
It's a big difference between work and a job.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir. I mean, people talk about a job because it seems to be hard work, but part of it is mental.
Yes, sir.
But I wanted to share with you something. Now, watch me. Stay with me now.
With you, Pastor. Come on.
People have attached their job to their worth.
All right.
And they've attached their paycheck to what they can have. And both of those are a lie.
Yes, sir. Come on, Pastor. Come on.
That's one of the ways that Satan keeps people in bondage, is he makes them think that their paycheck is all there is. What God wanted to show the people coming out of Egypt is they don't even need a paycheck. He can do it without a paycheck because it's not done in the natural. It's done by the Spirit. Lord have mercy. Are y'all with me? You have genius in you. Every one of us is not a 1 or a 3 or a 7. Everybody is a 10. And listen here, it's already in you. Satan's job is to divert you and get you over into a job. God's trying to get you back over into some work. He's trying to show you he can provide for you. If that job shut down tomorrow, God can still buy you a brand new car. Are you following? One of the reasons why the devil does not like the kingdom of God teaching is, one, it breaks down denominational walls.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Denominations come up when you got flesh.
Yes. All right, come on now.
But when you got in the kingdom, you rise up above the flesh.
Yes.
Come on now, because the kingdom of God is a spiritual reality. Another reason why he didn't want you, because it will reveal, glory to God, all of the devil's deception. You can get a job working at McDonald's. If God spoke to you, said, I want you to go work at McDonald's. I'm working on somebody to get them saved at McDonald's. So you just go work on them, because 6 months from now, I'm going to have them come to the counter. And when I have them come to the counter, you're going to witness to them. Now, you got to work at McDonald's. You can work at McDonald's and still have a corporate jet out in Midway. See, the kingdom is the only place you can do that, because it ain't based on your paycheck. It's based on God. Somebody here today? is powerful. A good man, out of the good deposit of his heart, brings forth good things. It comes from your heart. It don't come from out there. The trick of the enemy is make you to think that your blessings, your wealth, your healing, your whatever comes from the outside in. Folks, it doesn't. It comes from the inside out. Your life is lived from the inside out. I can look at your life on the outside and I can tell you what you're thinking on the inside. Because your thoughts go manifest into your deeds. You broke on the outside because you broke on the inside. If I can get you built up on the inside, you got billionaire status for you on the inside. If I can get you the inside, if you get up on the inside, the outside got to get up, don't you see? I'm talking about working the system. You got a system in you to work.
Come on.
Suppose he had told Peter, said, Peter, they got all these people now, 5,000 people plus women and children. Said, Peter, I want you all to feed them. They said, wait a minute. Now, boss, you know we just left our job about 8 months ago. We just left our job. You got what I'm saying? God is in the business of placing a demand on you that is beyond your natural ability and resources. And he's in that business of doing it on purpose. You know why? Because he's trying to manifest who you really are. He's trying to show you, you just ain't flesh. You are a spirit. He's trying to show. Listen, when you're talking about things, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these, come on, things. See, he said, the Father knows what you have need of even before you what? Ask. See, you are not working for a living because technically, according to the book, you have inherited everything. That's the book. You have inherited everything. Now, what you need to know is how to get the system to work so that you can benefit by your inheritance. Boss, you know, we just left our job 8 months ago now. We don't have nothing. He took them one time and he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, these are two different groups of people. Pharisees, heavy in tradition. Sadducees, they were the aristocratic religious people that didn't believe in spirits, didn't believe in angels, nor the resurrection. And you got folks that don't believe in that today. That's the same Sadducee spirit. That's why they're sad, you see. Sorry, I just had to throw that in. Now, so now, finding out how to get this production going, because it's coming from the inside.
Amen.
Your source and supply is the Word of God.
Yes.
Not your job.
Yes.
Not your job.
Yes.
Your job, God uses as a resource.
Yes. All right. Amen.
Not the resource. A resource. Are y'all following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not the source. God is the source. He's the source and supply. Where does the manna come from?
Amen.
Heaven. Okay. When did it come?
Every day.
Every day, except, you know, the Sabbath, but it came basically every day. Can you imagine the dinner bell ringing? Dun, 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 dun. Time for dinner. Here comes manna. See what I'm saying? I'm saying you can work the system to get it to produce when you need it. Exactly when you need it. And where you need it. If you're in China, you can get it produced for you right there. In Chinese currency. Come on, y'all got to stay with me now. This is what Jesus taught for 40 days after he was raised from the dead. 40 days he taught on the kingdom of God. There must be something in it. Jesus taught the disciples for 40 days on the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, if I can just get this into you, first place, we're going to separate you from your paycheck. Get that mentality out that came from Egypt, and he wants it out. Your payday is anytime. 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 My wife was down there. We were down there in Tulsa, and that's when she needed. I was going to full-time Bible school at that time in seminary, and she was looking for a job. Went all around looking for a job. Looked like everybody told her, the employment agency said, sorry, Ms. Winston, we have no jobs. People getting laid off by the hundreds. Two industries were in Tulsa at that time, oil and agriculture. Both of them were getting laid off. And so the next thing happened, she came home. I said, well, babe, she said, well, they say there are no jobs. Now, understand what the kingdom does. The kingdom of God is designed to produce for you everything you have need of in this earth, independent of what's going on around you, independent of your circumstance. Doesn't make any difference. So what happened? She and I got the word. It starts with the word, because the word's going to produce a job. Got that word? Put that word in her? She had that word all over the house. On little 3x5 cars. I opened the refrigerator. Redeemed from the curse. I go in the bathroom, lift up the commode top.
Come on, Pastor.
You know, I think there was one in there. I'm not sure. But anyway, my point was this. Everywhere there was a place she went, she kept a word before, because Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22 says, keep it in your eyes, your ears, your mouth, and your heart. Got it?
You in the book, dog.
So what happened then? We went ahead, waited a little while. A friend of mine came to visit me. Brother named Backus. Brother might be listening at the broadcast. Said, Veronica, is Bill in? This guy was a classmate of mine. So yeah, he's in the house. He said, oh, you got the job yet? I was listening to what she said. Yep, sure do. I understand, in the natural, she doesn't have it. But in the spirit, she's received it. Because that's the way the Spirit of God produces it.
Amen.
Then she said, he turned around, and I was going to listen at this one. Where is it? This is what she said. I don't know where it is, but I got it. Now, turn with me over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Woo, Lord have mercy. All right, in Mark chapter 10, this is when the rich man, a rich young ruler, came to Jesus. And he came to him and he said, verse 17, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why are you calling me good? There's none good but one, that's God. Thou knowest commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." Now, this man was religious, and religious people always know all the do nots. They don't know none of the do's. They just know the do nots. Now, look what it said in verse 20. "And he answered and said to him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He said to him, One thing you're lacking. Go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure," where? "In heaven. And come, take up the cross," and what? "Follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had what? Great possessions. Now, that's why it's hard for rich people today to enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, sir. And the reason why it's so hard for them to enter into the kingdom of God is because the kingdom, for you to get into the kingdom of God, you're going to have to trust God. And what happens is you can't serve how many masters? Two masters. You're going to have to make up your mind who you're going to trust. And this was a real important scripture for me. Now, what happened? He said, "You'll have treasure in heaven. Come on, take the cross and follow me." Now, he wasn't telling the man to go broke. He was telling him that he could make a deposit on another level. Now, get this. There are three heavens. First is the third heaven. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said he was taken up to the third heaven. The third heaven is where God is.
Yes, sir. Come on, make it plain.
Then there's a second heaven. The second heaven is where Satan normally has his headquarters.
That's right.
And that is a place where, remember when the angel was coming to Daniel to give Daniel the word in Daniel chapter 10, it said, the angel said, "I was coming from the first day you spoke the word, but the prince of Persia stopped me."
Yes.
See, he had stopped them from coming down through that second heaven. And a war took place until he called for Michael, the archangel.
Yes.
And Michael came and broke that stuff up.
Yes.
Come on now, God has answered your prayer, but you got to keep praising him because there's a war going on. Glory to God. There's a war going on. Say amen. So that's the second heaven. But the first heaven is the heaven where we call the best way I can describe it, it's just above the world system. It's a place or realm on a higher plane. Got it? Now, I'm not talking about physical, because I can look here and I can look up and I say I'm looking up to heaven. Well, how about the person who's in India and they look up? Now, that's on the exact opposite side of where I am. And they say they're looking up to heaven. So I'm not talking about that physical place. I'm talking about a place in the spirit that's just above the world system. That when you give and you do certain things, you can have a deposit made up there. And that deposit is there for you in the earth when you need it. Tradition has taught us, when I was a kid, they used to call it sending up timber. See, it means that you got a mansion, but you got to send up timber for it. Are y'all with me? But that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about something you get then. It's talking about something you need now. But what he said is the world system is crumbling. The world system is failing. Why? Because it was designed to fail. So God is saying, don't try to put anything up in that, because if you keep stuff in that, the thief may break through and get it. But what you do is you want some deposits, lay them up with me. Put them up on a higher plane, and when you need it, call for it. Now, once you put it up with me, I'm going to multiply it times 100-fold, and I'm going to give you 100-fold back of what you had put up with me. You got what I'm saying? Now, how about Jesus? Here he was, and the Pharisees, the religious people, they still after Jesus. Now, they asked Peter, does your master pay taxes? Peter said, yes. And then Peter came into the house, and Jesus said to him, what's troubling you, Peter? Then Jesus got, you know, he was in the spirit, so he said, listen, he said, he gave him a little lesson about the children and how the children are free and so forth. And then he said something. He said, he said, now, what you do is go to the sea or river, whatever, and throw in a hook. And the first fish you pull up, look in his mouth and get some tax money and pay it for me and you. He didn't say, now, what you do, Peter? Get a second job. Now, they got a night shift going on. You follow what I'm saying? Now, you just hear me now, because I'm talking about a deposit on a higher plane that you made. Some of you have made it and don't even know it's there. Now you're not working the system. So as soon as baby sister or your child needs to go to college, now the enemy say, oh, okay, you got to get him in college now. You know you got to send him to school. And the next thing you know, he offers a suggestion. Why don't you just make this school loan? And listen, I'm not coming against anybody that's made a school loan, but that's not God's best. I'm saying the children in this world, in their generation, in the world system, have been wiser than the children of light. The thing of it is, once you've given this offering, you just laid up some treasure in heaven. God records that offering in the heavens and adds 100-fold to it and makes it available for you when you needed to pull it back down in here. Lord, have mercy. Now, what if I have to do with you? I've got to go up in the spirit, because what happens with people is I can only stay. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So I can only stay down with you so long. And to get all excited in the flesh is all right. But that's not taking us but so far. When I start taking you on up there, your flesh might get quiet. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because now you're learning something. That's right. That's right. And we got an entertainment generation.
Come on, preacher.
It's time for us to learn something.
Yes.
Now, I'm using that in my life. I sent my children, my and so forth, one of them in school right now, I ain't never borrowed a dime to pay, you know. Why? They borrow money from the system, and then the next thing you know, the kid's trying to pay it back for years, trying to pay off school loans. Come on. All school loans. Hold your hand. No, don't hold your hand up. But are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that there is more than enough. God knew that you were going to be in the earth, that it's going to be a demand placed on you that's beyond the natural resources that you have, but he's got a system that you can work. And then that system you'll have more than enough. Folks, I'm telling you, the tuition comes, it's paid right there. Books paid right there. House, room and board paid right there. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying my wife could have said, well, I guess there ain't no jobs. No, she worked the system. The man gave her a job. Not only that, she had a card, and we were going to put the kind of job she wants on the card. God spoke to me and said, describe the job you want. And she put on the card, I want it in computers. I want a nice office. I want it 10 minutes from the house. I want this kind of money with it, and I want a car with it.
And a car.
And let me tell you, they called her on the phone. I gave her the phone. I said, what's that, baby? They said, come interview for a job. I said, now, this is in the middle of nobody getting hired. This is in the middle of everybody getting laid off. I don't care. See, the system, you got to work the system. The system don't care what everybody else got. The system gonna work for you. But God will allow what you'll allow. The Bible says he knows what you have need of even before you ask him. You got to ask him. It just doesn't automatically happen. The things of God don't automatically take place. You got to work it. And so what happened is what story was I telling now? I was telling a couple of them, the wife, the job. Well, they called her, and she went to look at that job, and look at that job, and it was in computers, nice office, 10 minutes from the house, maybe 10 and a half, 10 and a half minutes from the house, and gave her $5,000 more than she put on the card. I had prayed. See, God knew what I wanted. And then, watch this, told her to go pick up a new Buick. Now, you may not need a job, but you may need something else. And I don't care what you need, God has already provided. He is Jehovah Jireh. He sees and already provides everything you'll need in abundance. Now, it starts with the word. And you got to work the system. Over in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it is, he said, what you should do when anybody talks about you like a dog, I put that in there myself, and persecute you, you are supposed to do one thing, rejoice. Let me tell you, because when you do, rewards are sent up. Now, how many of saints are working that system? Here's the enemy getting them mad, and they, you know what she said about me. You know that old hussy, I can't stand her no way. So, you follow what I'm saying? Instead of you, when they start persecuting you, praise God! See, working the system. Working the system. Folks, you can work that system for everything you need or want. You know, since you're going on vacation, you got to put it all on credit cards. What kind of life is that? What kind of life is that? Now you're spending 8 months trying to get that credit card paid off. You know why? Because you're trying to live off your paycheck. You're still trying to live in the kingdom like you're still in Egypt. And I'm going to talk about you. Because I'm going to either draw you or drive you. You're going to either, come on now. It's time for the church to stop being broke. Especially when you have genius in you and billionaire status. It's in you right now. It's in you right now. Lord have mercy. Now, my point. It starts with the word. I'm going to talk about that next time, but I'm going to show you, before with this over, how to put it up in heaven and how to get it out. Because that's what you've got to do. You've got to do business in heaven for your needs in the earth. You can live like you're already there. And stop looking at things as being either too much for somebody or whatever. Because you look at a big house somebody's got, or you look at a nice, fine car or something like that, and you start talking about the person.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Let me ask you a question. What piece of metal is worth more than you? Come on, come on. What wood and brick is worth more than you? None. 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 Everybody in here is worthy to be chauffeured. Everybody in here. Everybody in here. The thing about it is what Satan has done is he's made you get a low life opinion of yourself.
Yes, sir.
And you need to get rid of it. Folks, I know I'm somebody.
Yes, sir.
Jesus died for me, and I am not some just stumbling around this earth. God has put something in me, and I'm gonna let it out. I'm gonna let it out. So I'm telling you right now, if you want somebody to hang around, barely get along street down by Grumble Alley with you, I'm not hanging around there. When they talk about me, God showed me this the other night. He said, son, now they're talking about you now. See, he said you're gonna receive 100-fold with persecution. And see, when I'm getting persecuted, I should look around and say, whoa. Hey, something's up here. Something's up here. See, and stop getting mad at them and talking back about them and so forth. You're supposed to forgive them. Say, hey, brother, say, I hate you feel that way about me, but I got to rejoice. Oh, glory to God. You know what it's like. As soon as you start moving ahead, some of them people who've been sucking your blood for years, they're going to come at you and try to talk you out of where you're going to church and what your steps you're making and how you're trying to better your life and you're trying to get back in school and you're trying to so forth, and they're going to come and waste your time. You better kick them to the curb and say, stand aside, sister. I got to go. You don't hold me back. Come on now. Some of y'all, your blessing's been passing you by for the last 5 years. That's coming out of the Spirit. And you have missed them time and time again. Because every time they get close, here comes persecution, and it distracts you from your blessing. And they go by. But this time, don't be distracted. When that persecution comes, start jumping up and down, saying, this is my hour. This is the time of my rejoicing. The bottom is about to become the top. You better hear what I'm saying. You better hear what I'm saying. So the last part of Mark chapter 5 is Peter said to Jesus, Lord, we've left all and followed you. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus said, no man that has left house, job, I'm putting that in there, land, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, so forth, for my sake and the gospel, but is going to receive 100-fold now. Then he begins to name them again. And in the world to come, eternal life, so forth, with persecution. Well, what happened to me in that job? God was calling me to go full time. I just couldn't go. Why? Because the gates of hell had me bound. That devil system had me going. Boy, I was in debt. You know, I mean, I owed my shoes. But something started happening, see. See, God started moving, started kicking. And I said, okay, all right, uh-huh. And I got that verse, start meditating it. Then one day on University Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota, boom, that thing came alive. Oh, the thing came alive. See, the man knew religion, and he knew Bible verses, but he didn't have no revelation of what they meant. So what do you have to do? You have to meditate it. So once I meditated it, I began to see myself as God saw me. And what happened then? I went back to my boss. I called a meeting with him. I said, hey, John. I said, listen, I'm leaving the company. He said to me, he jumped up and closed the door. You're leaving? I said, yes, sir. Well, what? I don't understand. He thought I was going to competition because they really groomed me and they moved me on. I said, John, hold it. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I got a call on my life. He sat back in the chair and kind of squinted his eyes. He said, now, I heard about something like that. Then he said this, watch this. Now, I'm not talking about him. I'm just saying this was new to him. He said this, take 2 weeks off. He thought I'd been working too hard. He said, just take 2 weeks off. Take 2 weeks off. Now, I'm not telling anybody to quit the job because you can't use your faith with a job. You're going to starve without one. And so what happened was, I said, okay, I'll take 2 weeks off. I took 2 weeks off, and guess what I did? Got in the Word. Now the thing got stronger. Now, as soon as I got back, he wanted a meeting with me, wanted to find out how I was doing. He thought I had recovered. And then I went back. I said, he said, well, Bill, talk about tennis and so forth and so on. He said, what happened now? He said, how do you feel about the job now? I said, John, not only am I leaving, but I'm leaving now. Now, what had happened? I took that job and converted it to seed and sowed it. I worked the system. Look what I'm getting. Got it? God may not be telling you to do that. Maybe something else he's telling you to sow. Maybe something else. I'm just saying, this was my call. But Satan's system was working me. But once I got a revelation, I worked the kingdom, and the kingdom ruled over all. Took me totally out of debt. Everything happened. What happened? Because I was working that system. Now, I'm only saying this. God is going to teach us how to live in that kingdom. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel to get you saved.
Amen.
That's one gospel. The gospel of the kingdom is the one teaching you how to live after you get saved. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. That's all we have for right now. Don't move until I call for souls. Now, if you have an emergency, I expect you to leave.